Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, the epitome of greatness, face it, no one place it close. Sweetness on the beach that Walter Payton flow. On track to be the best, what you pacing for? Call play, step back, pump, fake, and throw. Who that? Drew breathing on the field. The document is monumental, shit real to real. No huddle game plan in my phone, outstanding most. Haters, commentators, call them Pat Buchanan. Those still slamming on the Cadillac. Swinging lane to lane, whipping grain like a battle axe. For me. Why these cheerleaders cheer for me? We too hard to be crushed, too gone to be stuck, too fly to be touched, too much to be us, so we just let them do their thing, cause we something like the 18, and I ain't talking about they team, I'm talking Super Bowl great team, undefeated all season, championship, no weakness, greetings, great.
Welcome to another edition of Fin Out of Water. This is your boy Rod Math, a.k.a. The Lonely Dolphin, hailing out of Massachusetts. And on today's show, I'd like to bring you guys some excellent quality football talk. Right now, it's just me, but I should have a couple guys coming in later, hopefully, if they didn't forget. But anybody who happens to be listening right now, if you want to hop in on conversation, the number to call is 347-989-0591. If you happen to be listening, whether you're a first-time listener or someone who listens all the time, if you want to hop in on a conversation, the number to call is 347-989-0591. And on today's show, we'll be talking about some of the matchups from Week 7. And there were plenty of good matchups on Week 7. Oh, we got a couple guys coming on. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Gerson, you can go first, I guess. Hello?
Yeah, it's just me, bro. You got three
people. Yeah, there's another person. I think it's Ivan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Everybody good?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Ivan? I figured it was you. All right. Well, this is, you know, go ahead, Herb, introduce yourself.
I mean, star of the show, bro. I don't have to introduce myself anymore, man. I think the people know who I am
right now. Well, I'd like to welcome these two guys onto the show with me. We may have another visitor. We'll see. But yeah, like I was saying, on today's show, we'll be talking about some of the games from Week 7. There's a lot of interesting games that happen, and hopefully if we have some time toward the end of the show, I'd like to ask the guys who they think will more than likely be the last undefeated team out of the slate of undefeated teams. There's a couple of interesting matchups for those teams coming up next week, which if we have time, we will get to. Not to waste time, anyway, we'll get on with our first slate of games, and I have a question for my fellow guys who have joined the show with me. So, guys, if I told you that a professional football team was able to put up 35 points before the other team was even able to get their first yard, that probably sounds like something that you would only do in Madden. But in reference to that, I'm actually referencing the Miami Texans game, which, you know, I guess to non-Dolphins fans it's not a big deal, but to Dolphins fans it was probably the best, at least the best first half that any Dolphins fans probably ever watched. I didn't get a chance to watch the game until much later. During the time I was watching the New England game, but I was keeping up with the game on my phone, couldn't believe what was happening. I thought my phone was glitching up. But in any case, you know what a Dolphins fan is going to say about a game like that. So I'm actually interested in the opinion of someone who's outside of the AFC, someone who's not a complete, you know, hater or, you know, I want to see what, you know, everybody else thinks. So I'm sure, you know, the Texans were a weak opponent, and as were the Titans last week, but the Titans gave the Falcons the fight of their lives, and we might be able to touch up on that a little later. But, Ivan, you were the first one to pop up. So regarding the Miami Texans game, what were your thoughts on that game if you were even watching it? If you happened to catch it, what were your thoughts watching the game?
Well, a lot of things. People always talk about expectations when it comes to teams. you know, halfway through they do the judging. This is about the time when we start realizing what teams have. And the Texans' defense has to be up there in the most disappointing things of the year. People, you know, were saying they finally get Clowney in shape, he'll be healthy, which he has been. They got J.J. Watt, can't be stopped. You know, they point to different players on the team, the secondary. And, you know, they got, even got Raheem Moore, which a lot of people don't even know. I think he actually signed him last year, if I'm not mistaken. And it was just abysmal, that the effort, you know, that the guys showed. Like, there's even a play where they follow Cushing all the way around one of the Miami touchdowns, and just he was not even jogging. And he ended up being the guy that tackles. I think it was Miller at the end of the play, or Landry. I don't know. That team's just falling apart. And from what I see, everyone still likes the coach. I don't know exactly what it is. Bad coaching, bad personnel, bad play calling. I have no idea. But congrats to the Dolphins for at least looking like they're going to turn the season around. I mean, they're putting an effort in it. And it shows, and it showed such a big difference from what we've seen the last couple of weeks. It was amazing that the first half they had it. They needed something like that, especially for Tannehill. His confidence going into next week has to help him at least a little bit.
Well, that's a fair assessment, man. Okay. Herb, what were your thoughts?
Hey, every season, each season, there's a perfect storm game. You feel me? The perfect storm is a team that is playing out of their mind and a team that really just does not care about football at all, and they happen to play each other on the same day. That was Dolphins perfect.
That's a fair. Like,
you cannot tell me a professional team in NFL, where it's parity all across the board, one team gets 35 points before the other team gets its first down. The first down takes 10 yards, bruh. Not 12, 10 yards. And they were able to get 35 points before you catch your first down. That, to me, that's one of those situations where it's so embarrassing that the Texas franchise should have been shut down, bro. It shouldn't have been allowed to go home. The birds, the buses, all their jerseys should have been stripped. All the logos should have been figured off, bro. Like that. But the funny thing is, it's an enigma. Like, you got Arian Foster, you have J.J. Watt, you have the Damian Clowney. And the funny thing about the Damian Clowney is, he was supposed to be a super dominant pass rusher. And an okay run stopper. He's very good against the run. He's the complete opposite of the NFL. It makes no sense.
It does. It's funny. It's true.
It makes no sense. But yeah, it's just a perfect storm, man. The Texans decided to lay down against at the worst opportune time against a team that was just crazy hot, who was just playing super loose, super free. But that doesn't give an excuse of a professional football team to not have effort. Like, when has Lamar Miller ever broke for 80 yards, bro? Like, you got to not try to tackle him for him to get loose for 80 yards. Bro.
He broke twice. He broke on a screenplay and on a run.
I think the Jarvis Landry touchdown, that was the backbreaker. When he scored, the way he scored, after that it was a wrap. It was a wash, to be honest with you. Well, it was just the perfect storm game. It's going to happen once, maybe twice each year, each season. You feel me? It happened to the Colts last year when they played the Patriots. It's just a perfect storm. You feel me? So it just happened to be the Texans this time.
Great analysis, Herb. Gerson, I'd like to welcome Gerson Norvellis to the show. Showed up a little late. We're talking about the Miami Texans game. So Gerson, you're a Patriots fan, so I guess I get the arguably the most interesting opinion. Regarding the Miami Texans game, what were your thoughts watching that game, Gerson? What did you come out with watching that game?
It was the worst 2 hours of my life, bro. Because literally, man, it was like 7-14. Let me go get some juice. 21-0. I mean, 14-0, 21-0. Like, I was just like, really? Is these people even trying to play, bro? Like, what is this, man? Like, it's just like every time y'all got the ball, y'all scored. And every time they got the ball, they punted. I think it was like, I believe it was like late in the second quarter when they got their first down. Like, it was just like an unbelievable ass whooping, dog. And it was just.
Brian Snedehill completed 25 straight completions.
That was one of the craziest things, too, man. I couldn't believe when I saw that.
What?
That's how bad that defense is.
No, the defense isn't that, bro. There's bad defense, but you try. Then there didn't even try. No, they didn't even try. That, to me, when your team doesn't even try, that's a fireable offense. And I believe in Bill O'Brien. I think he can be a really good coach. He's in the same team with arguably less talent than 9-7 last year. You feel me? Like, it's a step. You feel me? Like, Vince Wilfork is done. Like, they had one, they had him on a track. The center literally moved him completely out of the frame, dog.
Yeah, I'm going to work on him.
You feel me? So you think the additions would help, but they're actually hurting this team. You feel me? So it's what happens when the defense is playing it together as a unit, bro. And this is what you get. You get 25 straight completions by a sometimes good, sometimes below average, but never a great quarterback. Even he could get 25 straight completions on this team.
Which that was
my question.
That
is,
was crazy.
Is
what's up?
Oh no, I was just gonna say they, you know, the whole Ryan Mallett thing was happening at the same time, and they ended up they left him, they dumped him, and they picked up T.Y. Yates again. I'm sorry, T.J. Yates. How long do you guys think it's gonna be before he takes over Hoyer's job?
might be toward the end of the season, man. You never know. Hoyer played awful. At one point, Hoyer was 1-for-12 with an interception.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the ugliest quarterback stat lines I'd ever seen in my life. I was like,
between
man,
his
they
first half
out of it.
And the E.J. Manuel first half.
E.J. Manuel was awful.
No, yeah. E.J. Manuel, by far, dog. Hands down, bro.
Hey, Herb, we're going to have to bring back the bad quarterback list again, man. We got to bring that back because it's getting ridiculous.
Bro, we got to highlight all the bad quarterbacks. This man fumbled for a touchdown, right? Came back on the next series and threw a pick six, bro. You know he number one.
He was pretty
one,
bad.
Man, fumbled for a touchdown and followed it up the very next series, the very next drive with a pick six. You know where he at, bro.
And then they still were up in the fourth quarter. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't believe the Bills were about to win that game.
Bro, why are the NFL allowing the Jags to still be an NFL franchise, bro? They're doing nothing for the NFL community, bro. Oh, they're not doing anything for Jacksonville. They're not doing anything for the city. They're not doing anything for
They actually have more fans in England, I think, than they do Jacksonville fans.
In the States. I was hearing about that. It's kind of crazy.
I don't know if it's actually true because it feels like it. Yeah, they're tied for second in the division with the Texans. That's how bad that division is.
Oh, that division is awful. AFC South.
They're both 2-5, one win away from the Colts.
I believe the division is going to set the record for the least amount of wins for a winning division, bro. Like
it just might. There might be five wins out of that division, man.
No. The Colts are going to win because Colts never lose against the division. So it's going to be 6-12 or whatever.
Yeah. That's the thing. They actually, all three of their wins were against their division. They haven't beat anybody outside the division yet.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, but do you really expect Andrew Luck to look this bad the whole year?
It's not about luck, though. Their whole team is trash, bro. They can't
actually, Gert. Gerson, to bring a point, Andrew Luck has been carrying that team so much that, I mean, to me, I don't know if maybe he's hurt or something. He looks like he's regressing a little bit. You know,
but
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Listen, hold up. What you're saying is true in the sense of, like, you know, he's been carrying the team for the past 3 years. But he's the biggest reason why they kept losing, though, because he keeps on trying to do too much and all that other stuff. Oh, really? Yes, he got a terrible line, but Frank Gore's not done. Frank Gore is not done.
That's cool, bro, but Frank Gore is running behind Nick Muhort or whatever his name is, Anthony Capozzo,
But at the end of the day, he was still getting stats. The problem is Andrew Luck keeps throwing picks. So when they're getting down, they can't run the ball. That's the problem, bro. Frank Gore could still get his 100 a game or whatever, dog, 90 a game or whatever.
He wasn't getting 100 a game with the San Francisco O-line, bro. Why would he do that with the Colts,
bro? They didn't run the game. Hold on. They wasn't rushing the ball last year. Last year when he was in San Francisco, he didn't get that many touches.
Oh,
God. Actually, I do agree with the question on that point. Frank Gore under the right line, I think, still has one or two more years, but...
When was the last time that Frank averaged 100 yards a game? Because you do know that would equal 1,600 yards, bro.
You don't need to average 100 a game, bro. You don't need to average. You just need some type of rushing, though. He could get a 1,000. He could still get a stat.
Well,
okay,
but
so
at the end of the day,
back,
I really believe that
he can't
go fix this shit, though.
You got to ask you a question. What about Trey Cole, who has not yet to get a sack? What about Andre Johnson, who can't even get separation, bro?
It don't matter, bro. Listen, hold on, hold on. It's the same shit he's been dealing with for the last 3 years, bro. The only reason why
he's on a bad division for the last 3 years. Like, you put him in any other division.
Wait, hold on, hold on. This is the problem with what you're saying. He averages 11 wins, Herb. He's only winning 6 games a year. Yeah, it helps him, but at the end of the day, he also beat other teams.
That's
he's 500,
I'm just saying
he's 500 against the rest of the league.
He's 500. I'm the biggest Andrew Luck fan you will find, bro.
But that's
going to tell me that this man's been like – He gets a free 6 wins a year, bro. A free 6.
I'm not saying that don't help him. I don't. Is that what's coming out of my mouth? My point is that I don't see them playing this bad the whole year. That's all I'm saying.
All right, give me wins.
What?
Give me. Look at the. Go find the schedule and give me the wins. If you can't beat the Saints, who you beating, bro? Seriously.
What you mean? You just said that. Didn't the Saints just beat your Cowboys?
Yeah, with Brandon.
Without Tony, without Dez.
It don't matter. That's my point, bro.
What you mean?
That's my point.
It's comparable to a backup Brandon Whedon and no Dez Bryant and no Sean Lee. Like, what are you talking about, Brandon? No Dez Bryant.
And we lost Lance Dunbar that game.
What you saying, Rod?
Gerson, Gerson, I want you to think about two out of the three Colts wins didn't come from Andrew Luck. They came from Matt Hasselbeck, who, when he's been in the game, has played better than Andrew Luck. He's looked better. I'm not saying that he is better.
But that's my point, bro. It's just Andrew Luck is not playing to his norm, bro. That's all I'm saying, though, and I don't believe
Yeah, but Gerson, they have a bad team already. So if Andrew Luck isn't playing well and they already have a team that actually needs him to play well, then how can you imagine? I mean, they'll probably win their division. No one's saying they're not going to do that. I mean, who do you see in that division overtaking them? But they can win that division at 6-7 games. They probably will because they just have not looked good, and that's primarily. I mean, Andrew Luck plays a big part of that, but their team has been the same way.
But
this is why
he'll end up fixing it, though. You know, he'll end up fixing it. There's a lot of problems with that team, not just with Pagano and the defense being terrible. There's also Ryan Grigson the other day just fighting with the owner. How are you going to get into an argument with the owner the way that like you're cool with him like that? Like, it's not how it works. Grigson's going to lose his job. Pagano will probably lose his job as well. One of them two is it has to leave at the end of the year. And that whole defense just has to be scrapped. Except for maybe 2-3 players. Because it's really bad, bro.
If Vegas had a spread on Chuck Pagano losing his job, and I would put my house up, bro. I would tell my dad put the house up on that, bro. We gonna make that money back because that nigga get fired automatically. That is a game.
But listen though, here's the point. You think okay? Let's say you see how bad they're playing right now. They're four, they're 3-4. Let's say they fix the shift. They end the season at 11-5, or they end the season at 10.
What team are they beating in the playoffs, bro?
They're not going to be 11-5, Garrison. They're already 3-4.
Exactly.
No, but I'm just saying in the fact of like they end with 10-6 or something like that.
Okay. Well,
hey,
Nate. Something like that. Does that save the coach's job?
Hell no.
Hell no. That's a wrap.
He's done.
And what
the GM should be done too.
What if they get to the AFC Championship?
He's still done.
I pray to God they don't.
They have to win the Super Bowl, bro. If they don't win the Super Bowl, that's their only chance for that man keeping his job, bro. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And you know that's not happening.
And you know that's not happening. And you know this, man.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, but
especially with the way that the rest of the AFC actually looks like this year. If the Bengals actually show up in December, you know, the Steelers might actually sneak in. There's a lot of teams over there that could actually still, you know, even the Broncos defense. I don't think the Colts could beat that defense.
One more point about the Colts. This is the scariest part. They haven't even paid Andrew Luck yet. So that means the team is only going to get worse.
Wait, what you said?
They haven't paid Andrew Luck yet. So that means the team is going to get worse.
Yeah.
God, that's hard to imagine, man. That's very hard to imagine.
This year, which is why they went so big on free agency this year, because they knew this is the last year that they have him on his rookie contract. Next year, all those guys are gone. Andre Johnson is not coming back next year. Kurt Cole is not coming back next year.
Andre Johnson shouldn't come back. He's done for, dog. I can't believe he wasted his whole career in Texas. Like, bro, I don't care how much you pay me, dog. If I could be great, I'm gonna go somewhere else to be great, man.
But at the same time, though, you sign those long term contracts because you in your mind you think you're gonna get better. You feel me? Like, who's gonna take that contract? Who's gonna trade for them? Like, once you sign that deal, you're in bed, bro. Unless they cut you, you're in bed with that deal.
Man, so he could have had a better career, bro. Way better career.
Yeah. He was loyal, man. He was a loyal guy to his franchise for a long time.
I mean, your team is gonna give you the most money, bro. Like the team that you play for most times, like, if they let you go, it's because they don't really believe in your talents anyway, bro. So they're not. AKA Paul Kruger, bro. You see what the Browns did. You see what he's doing to the Browns.
Forgot he existed, man. Man. You know,
they're going to try to overpay you more than anybody else. And he kept on taking a paycheck, bro. That's on him, dog. You feel me? Like, you never signed an extension thinking, yeah, I'm going to waste the rest of my career with these blind dudes.
You never
signed an extension thinking, fuck, I got to play Ryan Mallett or Brian Hoyer, bro. That man didn't know when he signed that contract 4 or 5 years ago, but he didn't never thought that, dog. You don't got no magic crystal balls in this shit, man.
None at all, man. None at all. Great, great, great conversation, guys. Moving on from some of these bad, bad teams that we touched upon, I want to get to one of the more interesting matchups of Week 7, and that was the New England and the Jets game. And usually I let Gerson take the reins, but I'm going to throw my 2 cents because since I live here, I was able to catch that game. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to even see much of that, but
we got to stick with the Dolphins, bro. You got to—that's a blessing, bro. That's a true blessing. You don't even know.
So yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to you guys. I actually absolutely hate it because I don't want to. It sucks when you watch the Patriots. Like, I don't even watch most of the Patriots games because they're just gonna blow to whoever they're playing out. So like the Jags game. I remember putting that game on. They scored 2 touchdowns, and I dipped. I just started watching something else. Like, I hate watching the Patriots game.
Yeah. Before you get into your point, And this is no, and I don't mean this in any disrespect. This is the thing, dog. A Patriots blowout is far more interesting than a Dolphins blowout, bro. For some odd reason, the Dolphins just never are entertaining, bro. I don't know why. Unless they play the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that. Hopefully that can change.
You're a fan, so it's different to you. Like, from a person who's not a fan. The Dolphins, it's hard to watch them on TBS, bro. There's no energy, dude.
Well, hopefully that'll change. Hopefully, we're hoping for that. But in any case, just some thoughts I had on the game, and I'll ask you guys your opinions based on the outcome. When I was watching the game, the one thing I noticed was, first of all, man, it's man, I hate having to admit this every. I felt a lot better to get it off my chest at the end of the last season, but Tom Brady truly is the greatest quarterback of all time. And I can say that just because watching that Jets game, he got sacked 3 times in the first half. The Jets were putting it on the Patriots, man. The Jets were actually, I mean, without Chris Ivory, because Chris Ivory hurt his hamstring early in the game, but they were still putting it on. The Jets were putting it on the Patriots early in the game in the first half. And then it's like in the second half, Tom Brady was like, okay, my defense can't do anything for me. My O-line's getting me killed, and my receivers are dropping everything. I'm looking at you, Brandon LaFell. That nigga dropped 5 passes, and I saw every drop.
Ooh.
I was like, wow, man. Tom Brady had to overcome 10 drops, bro. Tom Brady literally in the second half was just like, fuck it. Every time he snapped the ball, it was like, sometimes I thought he was just throwing blind. Like, sometimes I felt like he was just snapping the ball and just saying, fuck it, and just throwing it just randomly, and it would just get completed. It was incredible. He was getting the ball out of his hands so fast, you could see gradually the Jets' pass rush was just getting tired as the game went on, because it's like every time you're rushing the passer, you before you even get close to him, Tom Brady wasn't even throwing with 2 seconds. He was throwing with like 1.5 seconds. He was just snapping the ball and just knowing where to go with the football. It was incredible. And it was just like watching that game. And the Jets, they're legit, man. I hate the Jets with all my heart, but I will always give credit where credit is due no matter how I feel about any team. The Jets are for real, man. And I remember last week we talked about I at least mentioned that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was the scariest part about the Jets. He was the best part about their offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick actually played a really good – I was shocked. I was like, damn, Fitz. You know what I mean? I mean, and honestly, that game could have – I mean, if it wasn't for a drop by Brandon Marshall, that game probably – the Patriots probably still came back, but the Jets would have been up big before the Patriots were able to close the gap. But Brandon Marshall dropped a touchdown and kicked a field goal, and, you know, when you do that against the Patriots, they're going to make you pay, and they did. And it was just like watching this performance just made me realize, like, it truly is an honor that we get to watch somebody like Tom Brady. Like, it's an honor because we guys like us, we didn't get the chance to watch, you know, the older greats like Joe Montana and Dan Marino and, you know, John Elway and their brother. Like, we didn't get a chance to watch the great quarterbacks of the past. But it's like, I honestly, watching Tom Brady just slice up the number one defense in the league. And he even made Revis look bad. Like, Julian Edelman he only caught a few passes. He dropped a touchdown against Revis. I mean, Julian Edelman was doing Revis a little bit in the second half.
Hey,
and I'm just watching the game, and I'm just like, huh?
I might have to take back what I said about my dog Reeves, man. That's fool. I saw the hot. Brandon LaFell even caught him on one, man, but he dropped that villain. Technically, it didn't count.
Yeah, I mean the Patriots knew how to attack Revis, and I found that very interesting.
The thing with Revis is he doesn't have the same agility, bro. He's literally balling purely on technique now, dog. He's not balling off athleticism like in 09 when he was just unbelievable. It's just purely technique now.
Is he over 30? Revis over 30?
He is 30.
Yeah.
The thing is the injuries.
Yeah, injuries will slow a player down like that. But regardless, he's still a great player, impressive player. And regardless of all that, Tom Brady, man, like, he just had a great game, man. It was just – I couldn't believe – I was watching that game, and I reached a point where I didn't know who to root for, because as much as I hate the Jets, Patriots fans, oh, my God. Maybe Gerson might be the only person I'll be able to take living up here. Listening to these clowns, dog. They're like the most obnoxious people ever. And it's like there's nothing you can say because their team is that good. You know, it's like it's crazy because as long as you have Tom Brady on your team, he's the ultimate X factor. The man truly is going to go. There's nobody as clutch as this dude. He was just making pass after pass. You could see it in the Jets defenders' faces. You could see it in Todd Bowles' face. they were just looking like, man, what do we got to do to stop this guy? You know what I mean? And it was just, and I'm looking ahead to Thursday night game, which we'll talk about tomorrow before the game, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what we're going to do against this dude, because a pass rush is what we have, and he's neutralizing everybody's pass rush. Tom Brady figured out how to stop the one thing that could stop him. And so what do you do? You know, and it was just a marvelous thing to watch, man. And it was a great game overall. You know, I was impressed with the Jets' passing game. You know, and they didn't have neither team had a rushing. This nigga Tom Brady was a leading rusher, bro. The Jets running, I mean, the Patriots running backs had 1 yard, bro. 1 yard. This 1 yard. This man literally won the game by himself. Like no other quarterback can do that. No other quarterback can win without a running game. Like it was incredible.
Right. Do you know his percentage of the team's offense was, bro?
What was it, man?
It was 99.7, bro. He accounted for 99.7% of the team's offense, bro.
Wow. And he put it all on him. And he had 10 drops. Bro, you realize 3 drops in a game could ruin the game for any other team? And the Patriots had 10 drops. And some of them were on key down. Some of them were on third down. He had a drop. He had a couple drops in the end. I mean, Tom Brady overcame. It's like everybody wanted. Even his own team was trying to lose in the game, bro. And he still overcame everything. It was just the craziest. Like, and he didn't even play. Like, he didn't play that great. Like, he didn't look that great, especially in the first half. But in the second half, I could just only appreciate how well he was able to just control that offense. There's no quarterback.
Didn't
more
he also have a rushing touchdown?
Tom Brady had a rushing touchdown.
I saw the stats that was his 100th time that he's attempted a 1 yard, either on fourth down or a touchdown. He's 91 for 100, so he's even the best at that play at quarterback. It's pretty funny.
Incredible. It's incredible, man. But in any case, I already gushed enough about this game. Gerson, you being the Pats, being a resident Pats fan, what are your thoughts with the outcome of this game?
Listen, man, it'd be a lie if I told you. Like I told you, I could see Jets in the game. I told you that before on Sunday before the game started, you know, and it just shows how much they got better. You feel me? I always thought that we have the better quarterback. We're going to win. We should win. But, you know, they were the number one defense, and they did play hard. They did their best. And I'm just glad we got the W. That's it. But, like I said, I didn't get to watch it. All I could go off of is highlights, you know, analysts. I mean, you got to watch it. You feel me? Maybe you would have been happier to watching the Dolphins play, and me and her would have got, you know,
everybody, not just you and Herbert. Everybody that isn't me on this show, and everybody that we know, I'm the only one that was wishing I was watching the Dolphins game. The irony, isn't it?
Yeah,
plenty of irony there. Herb, what thoughts do you have about this game? About either team? Anything to add?
I mean, everything I said came to fruition, man. It was going to be a close game. The Jets were going to play tough. But I'm gonna ride with who's the better quarterback, bro. Because at the end of the day, it's hard to beat Tom Brady, man. You got to be firing on all cylinders of defense to beat that man, bro. It's hard, and you're not gonna beat him twice. You feel me? Especially when you're in a division where, even with a new coach, he's familiar with the team and he's familiar somewhat with the scheme. So you're not gonna beat Tom Brady, man. That's like, what more can you say, bro? He's the GOAT, dog. I don't want no 80 gas bag telling me about Joe Cool and all of that shit. I don't give a fuck, all right? I don't give a rat's ass. You can stick Joe Montana up your asshole, bro. No disrespect to him, bro. Tom Brady's the GOAT, man.
He is. I mean, you know, and when you think about it, you gotta think about it. Ivan, I'm gonna let you go in a second. I just want to throw this in there.
Okay.
It's like you look at the way they lost those 2 Super Bowls. You can argue that he could have 6 rings, and you could even make the argument if he had 6 rings, he would get number 7 this year. That's how great this guy is. That's how pathetic he has made the AFC look. Not just our division, not just the East, just the whole AFC. For this guy to be back time and time again. I mean, the Patriots are always in the AFC Championship game. They always have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. It's incredible. Nobody has ever done that, you know. And it's like, and I tell people, man, like I tell all the bitter Dolphins fans, all the bitter Patriots haters, because obviously there's a lot of them. And the Patriots do a lot of, they've done some shiesty things, but cheating is not going to win you 4 Super Bowls, get you to 6 Super Bowls, maybe get you to a number 7. That's greatness. And that's a part of, that's Bill Belichick. He has to get props for being able to maximize the average players that they seem to always get. And Tom Brady for just the things that he offers. Ivan, what did you think about the outcome of the game?
I was going to look at more from the point of the Jets going forward. I think that's one of those games where you learn, you go back and you study that tape, you know, until you face them again. And it's one of those games where it gives you hope, you know. It's one of those games where, yeah, you lost this time, but you know you have to face them at least one more time, and maybe again in the playoffs if things go the right way. Those are the types of even good losses, I guess you could say. It's something you can learn from.
I'm sorry, Ivan, not to cut you off. I take exception to any. I don't believe in good losses in the NFL, bro.
Ask that to the 2007 Giants, man, when they lost against the Patriots Week 17.
Bro, that whole...
That's a good loss right there, bro. Come on.
It's not a good loss, bro. They lost.
Oh, yes, it is.
They lost.
Well, Ivan, how about this? I would say call it... I hate moral victories, but I'll tell you what.
That's what I'm trying to say.
They're professional athletes. There is no such thing as moral victory, because the flip side of that is the Patriots could be like, we had 10 drops and we still beat you. We didn't even beat you on our A game. Like,
I know, and Deion Lewis wasn't there and all that, but like we said, so did the Jets had a couple drops too. If Marshall hadn't dropped that touchdown at the end, maybe if they hadn't had that offside, I mean the wrong lineup at the last 10-15 seconds, they might have been able to actually get a Hail Mary. They could have won that game.
Don't the Jets always do that? That's the difference. One team doesn't make that mistake, Patriots. The other teams in the division do. Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. You know how many times the Bills have been in close games with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they fuck up? Lord, 2 years ago they were up, what, 21-3, and they lost the game?
I remember. They put up 30 points on the Patriots several times and lost. I know. But it's still for a new coach, for his first time. The beginning, the backup quarterback, even though he's played against Brady, it was supposed to be Geno Smith there today. Everyone knows that. IK and Mpali, whatever his name is a savior for the Jets.
IK Mpala was a hitman sent by the owner to knock Geno Smith out.
That's what I'm saying. It was a blessing. I think he got the Jets fans need to have a trust fund for that guy.
He was a hitman. Because he knew Todd Bowles was crazy for naming Geno Smith the starter, bruh.
I was about to ask that question. Like, do you think Geno could look this good with this?
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Because the years before, no, he had nothing around him, man.
Like, yeah, that's our last year.
You don't think he can do what Fitzgerald was doing?
Nah, man.
I mean, Fitzpatrick.
No, you want to know why? Because Fitzpatrick is a guy who you cannot give him too much on his plate. When he has too much on his plate, the shit just explodes in his face. He can't handle it, dog. Like,
he really can't.
It's like putting pasta in a microwave for 30 minutes, bro. The shit's gonna explode, man. It's gonna implode. That's what it is if you put too much. Geno could have a perfect situation and just, Geno's erratic. Ryan Fitzpatrick implodes. There's a difference, which means that you can't get it because...
That's actually like, a really good comparison for both of them.
Yeah,
but they said, what's the name, won the battle, the, what you call
no,
it?
No, Geno didn't win the battle, man. Like, they literally force-fed him that because at the end of the day, that's still their second-round draft pick, and they had to give him that opportunity. I don't honestly believe – that's why nobody's – have you heard one person that's like, yeah, I wish Geno was got his opportunity. Not one person out of 52 players has said that.
It's true. There's no controversy. None.
At all. Like, there's not one person – because they know. They know who's better. The players know. You feel me? Right. That was politics for Geno to even win that shit. Because that's them saying, okay, we have to see what our second round draft pick is. Like, we have to give him this opportunity. Right? That's why everybody knew when he wasn't going to start, he was never going to get his job back. Because he's not good enough to warrant his job back.
He definitely hasn't proved it. That's for sure. That's true. Anyway, that was an excellent conversation, guys, about this game. I want to throw in a little something in here before we get to another game. So we talked about the Patriots, and the one thing they have in common with four other teams in the NFL is that they're undefeated. So our contestants are the Patriots, the Broncos, the Green Bay Packers, the Bengals, and the Panthers. So my question to you guys, and I'll start with Ivan, my question to you guys is, which team do you see lasting the longest, staying undefeated, and which team do you think is probably going to be the first to catch their first L? Ivan, what do you think?
I have to look exactly at the schedule of every single one, and it's kind of hard to just bring up at the top of my head.
That's fair.
If I had to pick one, though, from what I see of the teams, it would definitely have to either be the Broncos or the Bengals. Broncos, just because they're having too many of those games where everything is a little bit too close and everything turns around and the fourth quarter with a pick or a fumble or something like that to save the game or a last-second field goal. It's been too many weeks of that. It almost feels like they're playing back to the Tebow years. And the Bengals, sure. they're just in a tough division. Even with the Ravens being 1-6, you could see the Ravens beating them. You know, like it's one of those things where that whole division is tough. They're playing Pittsburgh this week, if I'm not mistaken. And Andy Dalton's got four primetime games coming up. Four primetime games this year. So it's got to happen. It's got to happen. We got to get that Andy Dalton out here, man. This bad quarterback play is calling for it. They're saying, we miss you, Andy. We're trying to make up for it with EJ Manuel and these other fucking guys like Brian Hoyer. We need you back, baby. We miss you. So it's going to happen.
That's a fair assessment. Herb, what you thinking, man?
Oh, first to lose?
Yeah, first to lose.
Oh, man, bro. I got it. See, the thing is...
Plays Denver this weekend. By the way, Green Bay plays
Denver.
Yeah,
you're right. Boom. So, Broncos, yeah, you're right. Broncos. Wow, there you go. There you go. There goes Broncos. But, like, Broncos aside, because, I mean, that's anybody would lose to the Packers. That's not like, I don't really even feel that's fair. You feel me? Like, it ain't because they lost because shit caught up to them. They lost because they probably lost to a better team. So I won't even use that one. That's a cop out. I'm going to say, ooh-wee, man. Yeah, probably the Bengals because the Panthers, they don't play anybody anytime soon. I think the next game is against the Colts, I believe.
Easy win.
Now you can look.
Hold up. Hey, guess what? Carolina played Green Bay right after Denver.
Wait, Carolina plays Green Bay after Denver?
Yeah, right after Denver next week, it's going to be Carolina.
But that's what we said.
Oh,
like,
Green Bay.
But they lost to a better team, though, like. It ain't like they just lost because, like, basically this question is, who are they? Are they that
Who's
good?
The worst,
are they as
much.
Good as their record are? Or, like, the Bengals are as good as their record are. To me, as a matter of fact, everybody is good as their record are, man. That's NFL. This ain't college, dog. Like, ain't no style points in this shit, man. So who's the most fraudulent of the 6-0 teams? I would say it is the Broncos to me because there's no reason why they should have lost. How they beat the Browns, the way the Browns lost that game was literally the entire, like, modern NFL history of the Browns in four quarters, bro. Like, how bad the Browns have been, and any way you could lose a game that you're supposed to win, they did that last 2 weeks ago. That's what the Browns did.
That's
like,
true, man.
The
they
Browns
really gave
from
that
the
game
NFL
away.
Merger, like the post-Jim Brown Browns, like that Browns from the NFL merger, like everything, all the bad quarterbacks, like all their history was in one game, and that's how they lost against the Broncos. It was insane.
I couldn't believe they lost that game. I couldn't believe the Broncos almost threw, Peyton Manning almost literally threw that
threw that game away. He threw a bunch of bad picks in that game.
The Browns was like, you want us to win? Nah, we'll show you how we're going to lose this one, bro. We got you, dog. Like, it's incredible.
That's funny, man. And it's true. The bad teams know how to do that.